It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle continue our look at Penn State's 2016 recruiting class, a class that makes up a good portion of the veteran presence on Penn State's roster. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Just a few days away from the blue-white game, but it's not too late to cash in on a special deal they've got for Keystone Sports Network listeners. $350 for a group of four of you to come stay at an RV, get that ultimate tailgating experience Friday through Sunday on the GoPSURV.com lot. Free 409 Tailgate Club meal. We talk a lot about the good stuff that they do as well. TailgateWine.com will be there with all their different alcoholic offerings. There's a free shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium for the game. Like I said, basically 48 solid hours of tailgating around that game. And that's what it's all about for the spring
game. Can you drink on the shuttle or no?
Thumbs up on that one.
It's a selling point.
Speaking like a true alcoholic. Yeah. Great. That would be your question. You haven't said a word about GoPSURV.com for weeks that we've been advertising it.
That's not true.
But it doesn't mesh with the point I'm about to make.
I'm just looking out for the listeners. I'm adding value to the idea of calling and getting a spot at the lot.
That is probably a priority issue. Like, do I have to stop while I'm on the shuttle? The answer is no, you do not.
Perfect. All the more reason to call and book.
Contact Mark today. You can drink a beer while you're on the phone with him. 1-800.
Unless you're driving, then you cannot.
Unless you're driving, then don't. 1-800-519-8467. Or you can go to GoPSURV.com to learn a little bit more about this special deal. Time is running out. I recommend going to check it out. And as I mentioned before, if you listened to the show earlier this week, I will be there to watch the replay of the game with you. Maybe have a Labatt. Maybe have a tailgate wine while we watch. So incentive to or not, go to GoPSURV.com. Anyway, so we went through some of the key issues from Penn State's 2016 recruiting class. Now I want to get into re-ranking them. I also wanted to point out a couple guys we didn't really get into. So we mentioned the defensive ends. Shaka Toney is a guy on the spot. We know about him. Shane Simmons is a guy on the spot. We want to see him get healthy and give him his best opportunity yet to make an impact, because you know that he's got it in him. Mm-hmm. Daniel Joseph, another guy there. Antonio Shelton is a guy, a candidate to start at defensive tackle. And he wasn't the most splashy signing in the 16 class, hasn't been the most splashy player, maybe won't be the most splashy player in 2019, even if he does start. But I think you're looking at a rock-solid guy who Penn State saw and they got out of Ohio State's backyard, who's going to play a lot of meaningful snaps before a season and his career is done. And then another guy from this class wasn't super highly regarded, but Will Fries, the offensive tackle, is another really important guy. As they're replacing starters on the offensive line, they're going to break in a new starting tackle one side or the other. Will Fries, his ability to lock down one of those spots is a key thing for Penn State.
It is an absolute must. I'm sorry, but they cannot continue playing six and maybe even seven guys on the offensive line. This whole idea of swapping guys in and out and rotating them different amounts in game and all that. Again, we've talked about it before. It sounds like a broken record to those who listen every week, but the best teams in the country just don't do this kind of stuff. And if you want, that's what Penn State wants to be, and that's what Penn State fans want it to be. And guess what? If you're going to ever see them get to that level, it's going to have to take a dominating offensive line and a dominating defensive line. And guess what? If you're rotating your tackles or if you're, you know, rotating guards, the same thing goes, not this conversation, excuse me, necessarily, but the same thing goes for, a guard, Mike Miranda and C.J. Thorpe. Again, different class. We're not talking about that class, but the same thing. One guy has to step up and win a job. Will Fries last year rotated with Chaz Wright. As the season went on, he really earned the bulk of those snaps and starts. It was almost similar to how it was a little bit different from how Koa Farmer. So it was like the opposite, I guess, of how Koa Farmer started, but Micah Parsons got all the starter like reps. Will Fries mostly started, but even when he didn't, he still got the starter like reps.
Yeah, and you know, I think year three is a year that James Franklin talks about often. This is year four now for these offensive linemen.
Right.
It's time for them to step into big roles.
Do you think Matt Limegrover gets unfair criticism, or is it reasonable to say that maybe this group hasn't taken the step that a lot of people have thought it would?
I think it's reasonable. I think you haven't seen this group dominate. And last year was the year where you should have seen domination, right? Like, they were good. But part of it is that for 2 years running, we haven't heard much of it, I don't think, this year. For 2 years running, all offseason, spring, summer, James Franklin has said that Penn State's offensive line will be one of the best in the Big Ten. And I don't know. I don't know that you can fairly say that about those groups. And, you know, you had to have Connor McGovern, to have Ryan Bates, to have Michael Mennett, to have an experienced guy in Steven Gonzalez. You know, you had two options on the right side of the offensive line. You had Chaz Wright and Will Fries. It's fair to say I wish they would have been better last year. That was the opportunity.
Right.
And it's interesting, you know, the recruiting and development are two things. Like, I don't know that you can say with certainty that Penn State definitely can develop offensive linemen. Can you Matt Limegrover probably takes a lot of heat from fans. I think he gets a lot of credit inside the building. So probably somewhere in between there. But are they recruiting guys who are destined to be big time offensive linemen? That's the other part of it. I think it's fair to have doubts about both parts of it.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that comes out of that whole thing too is that if you are going to you know, rely almost solely on development and things like that, then you better develop some guys. And I think it is a little bit fair to be skeptical of how they've been able to do that.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We are re-ranking Penn State's 2016 recruiting class, a key group on the 2019 team. You are at least going to see one team captain out of this group, Blake Gillikin. You can probably maybe have a second team captain with Cam Brown. So you're going to have some leadership from this group. I wanted to go down through and re-rank them. And really, I don't think the way they were ranked coming out in 2016 has looked pretty good. You're always going to have your guys who are, you know, you're going to miss on occasion. But starting at the very top, Miles Sanders was number one at the time. I think coming out of the, you know, even looking back, he's probably your number one player in the class.
Yeah.
Looking back on it. Connor McGovern, I've got at number two. Michael Mennett, I've got at number three. Connor McGovern, you got a lot of useful snaps from him. Good play, even if you can debate whether it was great play. Michael Mennett, a year of starting, I think there's still a lot of potential there. He's built, I think, to play center just with that athleticism, and you're able to kind of keep him nimble when he's playing center. He's a guy that should blossom into an NFL guy as well by the time his career is over.
Yeah, amen to that. I don't disagree at all. One thing I noticed about him is he actually looks like a center this year, and it's not to say that he didn't last year, but he looked more like the high school him, if that makes sense. And if you don't know what I mean, he was a really strong, powerful kid in high school, even though he was never that big of a guy for an offensive lineman, because he played tight end. I believe he even punted. He might have returned kicks. I mean, he did just about everything. And he still had kind of that slim look to him a year ago, even though he was a pretty jacked up offensive lineman. This year, he is carrying more weight, and he's still able to move pretty well with it. I expect that our offensive line guru and guru of many other things, Ross Tucker, will really, really be high about Michael Mennett as he reviews film once the 2019 season begins. Don't get me wrong. I think he's always been high on Michael. But to me, I think this is the year that a lot of people who will know what they're watching for when they watch offensive line play. Keep in mind, folks, that if you would have graded Penn State's offensive lineman just from the naked eye, I think a lot of people would have had Connor McGovern pretty far down the list. He's going to be a second-round draft pick, and the people that watch offensive line play and know what they are doing will tell you that he thrived at Penn State and that he's really, really good. So I just think that those folks, the next one they're going to rave about is Michael Mennett.
Yeah, so I think that's an interesting and fair point when it comes to the layperson.
It's hard.
Judging offensive line play. We don't know what their assignments are. We don't know if they blew it. If a guy gets through on your side of the line, it doesn't necessarily mean it was your fault. It could have been a protection issue. It could have been somebody else's missed assignment. So, yeah, I think it's unfair for any of us to really judge harshly. What we can do is look back on players in that group cohesively
yep.
and say whether they overperformed or underperformed. I think you can, you know, at the end of the day, whether you created rushing lanes and whether you kept your quarterback clean, whether you gave your quarterback time to throw, that stuff you can judge even as a layperson at that unit as a whole. And I think McGovern within that and Minnett within that, good players. Cam Brown, I've got at number four. I think he could have a really big year ahead.
Amen. Yeah, I think, again, like I said earlier, he's carrying that weight better than I've seen him carry. When I stood next to him a couple weeks ago, just had a different feel to him. I don't know how to really put it into words or how to project it to his future production, but he just looked different. And that is a good thing for Penn State because obviously Micah Parsons looks different. Jan Johnson's a guy that is criminally underrated, I feel. And he's in for a decent year. I think Ellis Brooks is too, that linebacker group. But Cam Brown has a chance to jump toward the top of this class. Four's pretty high, but he could go even higher.
A legitimate six deep at linebacker.
Yes.
You know, a group where if a guy does get injured, you're not really going to miss a beat. But I think Cam Brown's going to really stand out. Shaka Toney, I've got at five. I think there's still potential there. Some impact plays. There's not a lot of pure, raw pass rushing ability that can match his. I got Will Fries at six. Blake Gillikin at seven. He's down low in the initial rankings because he's a punter, but clearly has done a really good job. Shane Simmons, still potential there. I've got him at I'm losing track now, at eight. Tyrell Chavis, good player for a couple years. Defensive tackle.
Underrated.
Antonio Shelton, best still to come for him. Ellison Jordan, if he can stay healthy. Daniel Joseph still has some potential there at defensive end. Then you get into all the guys who are no longer around or no longer playing, and it's hard to differentiate. So I've got Zach McPherson. You know, the ability that he had shown was significant. He's just going to do it someplace else. Alex Gellerstedt, same deal. I thought we'd be talking about him as a potential high in the rotation tackle this time. Daylon Darien, wide receiver turned linebacker, a rare feat there. Big
Don't
wide
see
receiver.
It every day.
Danny Dalton, high hopes, I guess, probably this time last year for him, just didn't materialize. Jake Zembeck, health, you know, that issue, you know, he wasn't a guy who was so physically superior that he could endure that. TJ Johnson made a big name for himself in the blue-white game, then decided to move on. Brendan Thrift, he was a two-star late plug-in there. Alex Barbier, anytime you use a scholarship on a kicker who never suits up for you, that deserves to be at the bottom of your class ranking. So there you go. That's the 2016 class. Looking back there, we're going to look forward to the blue-white game coming up. Your blue-white primer starts right after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.